This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, there it is. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Just Tim and Jess here on a Saturday afternoon. Jess, what's happening?
Oh, it's been a full week of pencil busting, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about it. Yeah. And everybody's like, where's Johnny? Hey, sometimes Johnny's, you know, he's got to do other things.
He is an educated educator. Sometimes he gets caught up in that world of educating. But we have a fantastic guest for you today. A brand new pencil buster. Tim, come on. Bring this guy on.
Bring him on right away. Well, okay. You know, gotta get a great Busted Pencils introduction. So everybody, he is a former public school teacher who transitioned from the classroom to the boardroom, now leading a fast-growing venture-funded ed tech company. He began his career teaching in an underperforming school in Harlem before moving to Stuyvesant High School in New York City, one of the nation's top performing schools, where he was chosen as the faculty graduation speaker by the class of 2007. He then earned a PhD in applied math at Cornell University, where he developed mathematical models of educational software. Following his doctorate, he founded Fly Labs, a startup acquired by Google, where he spent 5 years creating AI features for Google Photos and working in Google Research. Driven by a passion for education, he left Google to start SuperTeacher, the first AI tutor for elementary schools, delivering over 200,000 hours of private tutoring last year and partnering with schools across the Midwest. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Tim Super Teacher Novikov. Tim, what's happening?
Thanks for the great introduction.
How'd you like that?
I loved it. It's, you know, as I was listening to it, it's like reliving my entire life from, you know, the first day of my first job all the way through, you know, the twists and turns. It's great to be here.
It's you know, come on. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, you've done some very interesting things getting you up to this point of, you know, being the CEO of SuperTeacher and how we get, you know, and the app and people. You know, we're going to talk a ton about that. But Tim, you know, the bio that I read there, it's significant because, I mean, you know, we are educated educators talking education. And the reality is that, I mean, you were first and foremost a teacher in those days. I was just wondering, you know, just talking about, I mean, you know, the experience you had teaching in Harlem and then the move to Stuyvesant, just some, you know, some reminiscing. What, you know, what do you remember? What was it you loved?
Yeah. You know, I mean, for me, it even goes further back than that. My parents were teachers. My grandmother was a teacher. My wife is a teacher. My 8-year-old daughter wants to be a teacher. And it goes on and on. My brother's a teacher. His wife is a teacher. My wife's mom is a teacher. It's sort of just all in the family. And it wasn't unusual that, you know, across the dinner table as a child, we'd be talking about, well, the goings on of schools, but also even just, you know, pedagogy and teaching math, that type of thing. My first job was with the New York City Teaching Fellows, which is a sort of a Teach for America built specifically for the New York City Department of Education bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. And initially did my student teaching up in Harlem. It's actually summer school. And it was a pretty rough situation. There was, you know, there was a heat wave. There was no air conditioning, just an extremely loud, large fan that, you know, when they put it on, almost nobody could hear any teaching anymore. And so then it would turn it off and everybody would start sweating. It was impossible to focus. And, you know, through a bit of a bureaucratic mishap, when I showed up for my first day of the full year teaching at that school, A. Philip Randolph High School on about 131st Street and Convent Avenue in Harlem, where incidentally my aunt had attended high school, you know, decades prior. You know, I said, all right, so where should I go? And they said, oh, you didn't get the letter? You don't have a job here anymore. I said, what? This is like my first job out of college.
Right.
Head of department says, oh, yeah, no, you didn't get the letter? There was a, you know, a seniority transfer, which is a sort of a New York City jargon for, you know, there, a position was open, but somebody with more seniority requested the position. And so anybody who doesn't have a so-called building tenure gets bumped out. And so that happened to me, unbeknownst to me. And that was the first day of my first job out of college.
Nice.
And the way I ended up at Stuyvesant is a little crazy. First thing I did was I called all the other schools in Harlem, you know, Bread and Roses High School, Boys and Girls Choir School of Harlem. They all had their math teachers, their slate of teachers set up for the year. And eventually I was sent to this, New York City DOE. It might've still been the BOE, the Board of Ed, office, where I'm on a long line of teachers who are getting random assignments somewhere in the five boroughs where, so it's sort of a list of a lot of the teachers who are probably not the most sought after teachers in the system in the first place. And I don't even have a file number. And a few weeks prior, somebody had tipped off Stuyvesant that there was a sort of a, talented math guy in the New York City Teaching Fellows program that they might want to try to recruit me. So I actually had gotten a recruiting call from Stuyvesant High School asking if I wanted to interview for a position that had recently opened up. And I'd actually declined them. I said, you know what? I actually joined the New York City Teaching Fellows to teach in a heart to staff inner city school. I don't want to leave them in the lurch, a few weeks before the school year started. I didn't know they were going to leave me in the lurch, as it were. And so I called them back on a payphone. I called 311, get their phone number. This is 2003, and said, hey, are you not interviewing for that role by any chance still, are you? And they said, Tim, we're just wrapping up. You have to take a cab down here right away and teach a lesson on the law of cosines. And I took a cab down, sort of winged it with my very first, sort of a lesson on the subject for the interview. 2 hours later, head of the department called, said, Tim, you got the job. Show up tomorrow. We'll tell you what your classes are.
At that point, though, too, did you know the reputation of Stuyvesant in
yes.
that? Okay.
I did. I'd actually gotten into Stuyvesant as a kid growing up in New York City and then declined to go because I wanted to be an actor at the time. And I went to LaGuardia High School, which is the school from the movie Fame. And I sort of did a lot of acting. I actually did voices on an MTV cartoon called Daria when I was a kid.
Wait, I wanted to ask the question if you are the same Tim Novikoff that when I'm doing searches on you, that it pops up that you were the voice of, is it Jeffy?
That's right.
In the MTV show Daria.
That's right. That was really my actual first job was basically doing voices for an MTV cartoon, initially for a pilot that didn't take off and then for Daria. Yeah.
Jess, what do you think about that?
Well, now it makes more sense when we were doing our, pre-show equipment checks and you did more work than I did.
That's all right. Well, I don't know. Back when I was a kid, they would, they would tell me what to do in the sound studio. But it's good to be in front of a mic again, I guess.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Yeah, we totally are. In fact, too, if you would like to, again, the Busted Pencils mailbag, 608-557-8577. That's 608-557-8577. That's where you can, leave us a message, ask a question, and we'll even possibly play it on air. And then also, too, we have the text line, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Send a direct text. We will get that. Jess and Johnny, we love to look at and, in fact, correspond and have all of those conversations with anybody in the way they want to participate with Busted Pencils. We have our guest today, Tim Novikoff. He is the CEO of Super Teacher. We're going to be talking a lot more about Super Teacher, how we got there. But, Tim started off as a math teacher. Tim, did you always have, this is more of a personal thing because I'm a math failure. Jess is laughing. I got by with what I had to do. I think maybe algebra 2, a little bit of geometry, pre-calc. Nope.
That's about where my brain shorted out as well. Pre-calc.
Okay. was math that thing that you knew as a kid? When you were thinking about as a student, did teachers help you make that kind of passion connection?
So I was always pretty good in math as a kid. My dad was a mathematician and taught calculus at NYU. And so I was kind of around the talk of math, you know, all the time. And it wasn't surprising when I, you know, sort of got into it, you know, even more and more as I went to high school and then college and majored in it. You know, everybody sort of, almost everybody fails out of math at some point. You know, I ended up going a little further and majoring in math and then going to grad school. But, you know, when I took the hardest math, you know, graduate level math classes in grad school, they were right at the edge where I could barely follow anymore. And if I went any further, I don't think I'd be able to follow anymore at all. And, okay. I've even talked to some august mathematicians who said, you know, this happened to them as well. So everybody does hit their wall, you know.
Okay. Eventually. So even
it's just a question of when, yeah.
Okay. So even mathematicians have a breaking point when it comes to math.
Very often. Yeah.
Okay. So Jess, there we go. We're okay.
All right.
Then.
We're doing fine then. Sounds like
we're doing fine. Oh man. But yeah, you think about that, you know, teaching mathematics, because I think that is one of the, you know, the challenging subjects we know, particularly in this teacher shortage era that we have right now. I mean, you know, if you can be a math teacher, the ability to just go wherever it is that you would like to go is out there. You know, working in teacher education as I have for, you know, over 20 years, the number of students to get them interested in becoming, you know, a math teacher, sometimes even that is such a hurdle because, you know, again, just, you know, we're chatting here, educated educators talking education. The experience that a lot of my future teachers had, a lot of them felt discouraged by being a math learner. And so the idea of becoming a math teacher was just something that they weren't interested in. And these are people who actually had some really, you know, insightful ways of looking at mathematics. And you could tell that they were good, but they had turned off, I don't know, Tim, 20 seconds there. What do you know what I'm talking about here?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think if people have a great math teacher, that can often be a big inspiration for them. For me, I think my father is an inspiration for me, but I think in the future, people might be inspired by AI math teachers.
Uh-oh.
Like Superteacher. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah, we'll talk more. Our guest, Tim Novikoff, he is the CEO of Superteacher. We're just talking about his math experiences teaching in Stuyvesant High School in New York City. When we get back, though, let's dig into the education technology that we're talking about. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
I can see your smile. I can see your smile shine so brightly through the window.
Yeah, of course we always see your smile. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. And we know Jess has the best bumper music in the country. Jess, you know, we know we've got listeners who just come on because they're like, you want to hear some cool music, you guys got to listen to Busted Pencils because Jess is delivering all the time.
Well, happy to make you smile.
It made me smile. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Our guest, Tim Novikoff, he is the founder and CEO of Super Teacher. Came up, though, as a math teacher, started in New York City, was going to start in Harlem, ended up at Stuyvesant. How then, though, Tim, now let's make the transition here,
yeah,
because you highlighted, though, and just get a little question, though, on this. The AI, we know it's coming, yeah, and in fact, yeah, we're going to talk a lot about it, but
yeah,
do you really see the possibility of AI being a teacher or being an assistant to a teacher?
Well, AI is never going to replace a teacher. So that is not possible. I think if there's, you know, I'm humble about a lot of things, but my insights into this particular issue of AI and teaching and education. I think I'm among the world's foremost experts as, you know, could this ever happen? And my answer to that is no, it can never happen. AI will never replace a teacher. And not just because of sort of like feel good, you know, oh, teachers are replaceable and they're so wonderful. Although that's definitely true. I feel that way. But just the practical realities, you can't, like, no parent would drop their kids off at a school that doesn't have teachers in the classroom. Okay. You wouldn't even really want at the high school level kids in a classroom that didn't have a teacher. You know, when I was a high school teacher, yeah, even legally, you couldn't leave the classroom before getting another adult to be right in the room. And if that could have worked anywhere, maybe it would have been at a school like Stuyvesant, where, you know, the kids are very motivated and generally speaking, you know, almost no behavioral problems. But the reality is when it's nothing but the high school kids, you know, that you all sorts of stuff happens, you know, bullying, you know, flirting. It's just like, it's not going to actually be, you know, like a well-functioning math class without a math teacher in there. There's just no way, no how. So the practical reality is that it would never happen. It would also be not good for the kids. No parent wants this. I don't think any kids would really want it. The teachers wouldn't want it. The union wouldn't allow it. I mean, there's just no way that this is ever going to happen. You know, even if you go to a place where some of these factors are less at play, it's still never going to happen. AI will never replace teachers.
Yeah. So good to hear that, because I know some listeners are out there going, here's an ed tech guy. He was a teacher. He's moved into ed tech. And now, he's going to start selling the replacements of teachers. And just give you a sense to first kind of talk about that like that.
Yeah, it seems impossible. I will say that I think that some of the instruction can happen by AI. And even one day in the classroom, that's not really what Super Teacher does. It's not sort of, you know, designed to be, you know, on the smart board and in the front of the classroom. It's really a one-on-one tutor, which we'll talk about more later. And it's primarily used at home, although it also gets used in the classroom for one-on-one instruction. But I've seen some teachers want to put something up there and carry out a little conversation or sort of a lecture or back and forth call and response the way, you know, good teachers might be teaching. And that might happen a little, but it's not going to replace the teacher any more than video replaced teachers. I mean, teachers actually end up being the first ones to embrace this type of thing. You know, when we were kids, or at least when I was a kid, we would have teachers who push in a VCR and a TV and play a videotape sometimes. And that doesn't replace the teacher. That's something that augments the experience, where you can show, a Ken Burns Civil War, documentary or something like that. It's a great addition. And that might happen even at the classroom level one day, but it's not going to replace teachers. No way, no how.
I like the way you said that too, the augment, because I've been talking about it and just, you know, there's a little bit of a history here. We talk about AI, Tim and Johnny have the conversation. I'm more of the absolutely accepting and love the fact that I think it's a cultural shift. Johnny's
drinking
more on
the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, as Johnny always says, Tim, you're always drinking the Kool-Aid. Not, and then he'll come back. He goes, I'm not. And, you know, he's like, he was a math teacher too. And he talks about, you know, when the calculators came in. And so, you know, and in fact, those augmented, they didn't replace him as a math teacher and things like that. You know, I though continue to just be inspired by the potential of how it could really make teachers even better, giving more opportunities that we haven't even been, we may have imagined that we wanted to do, but just because of the workload and the realities of what it means to be a classroom teacher with 25, 30 students, you know, how to individualize instruction. It might be our goal, but the reality is it's so, so hard. I'm thinking about that. You know, in fact, if you've had to have that individualized instruction and the challenge we're talking about as a teacher, you know what? We'd like to hear from you. That's why we have our mailbag. 608-557-8577, 608-557-8577. I'd also say that, you know, and if you have a concern about AI and teaching, we also want to hear about it. And remember, too, there's also the text line 855-752-4842.
Important right, to note there, just quick before we move on, that text line is for those of you who are listening to the broadcast right now across Civic Media. If you're listening on the app, that means you can send us a text with one click. If you're not, you can still text us in at 855-752-4842. If you're listening to the podcast, though, you can text us or call and leave us a voice message at 608-557-8577.
Oh, thank you, Jess. I knew I was making a mess of that. So, Tim, where then, though, the question, because we're not a super teacher yet, but how do you make the transition? Because before super teacher, you create your own a vision entrepreneurial in Google. Talk a little bit about how you get from teaching to super teacher, that midpoint.
Yeah. So when I went to graduate school, you know, I explored a few topics and, you know, kind of to skip to the punchline, I was experimenting a little with making educational software when the iPhone first came out in 2007, when the SDK came out in 2008, made a little app called Flash of Genius. It was a little flashcards app. And I started getting interested in the algorithms behind that. And so that ended up being my dissertation. So I actually spent a lot of time in graduate school making an iPhone app and also studying and proving theorems about the algorithms behind it. And that was my entree into the tech industry, sort of effectively. I was in graduate school, but you know, learning to code and making apps and figuring out entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And so after grad school, I decided to take the plunge instead of doing a postdoc and trying to become a professor, just started a little startup. It was unrelated to education or sort of maybe a regret. I took a wayward path away from education, making a video editing app. It was acquired by Google. And while I was at Google, I started doing a lot of AI. So if you use Google Photos and you get a collage or a video of your child growing up set to nostalgic music, I was the person behind those features. And so that was my entree into AI. And at some point I said, you know what, I'm just going to quit Google, use this AI knowledge I have picked up and make an AI tutor for elementary school kids.
And that's where we're headed. It's our guest is Tim Novikoff. Yeah, CEO of Super Teacher. Got a lot to talk about here in the segment three. It's Busted Pencils, so make sure you come back, hear more from Tim. But there's always something happening here. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, that's Rise Against. People are out there. Who is that? That's Tim Mickelrith. Rise Against. Man, we
didn't have enough Tims on the stage.
I didn't have enough.
We needed nice more. Done, Jess.
That would have really made Jess. Actually, you know, Tim early on did a little 10-minute interview with me one time. Tim Novikoff. So, you know, again, but and one of the reasons too, we say the music does make a difference for the show because we really want to kind of, you know, talk about this from the standpoint of, you know, it's a little bit of pushing against the system, pushing against the grain, pushing against the status quo, because that's what we do here. So Tim, okay, so you make the move then from teaching into developing an app for the iPhone, working with Google, saying, though, okay, wait a minute. I want to come back, though, to teaching and that just leads you into super teachers. Give us a little bit of a sense of saying, so really, like, why would you leave Google when I'm sure life was good?
Yes, it's a good question. And life was good. The, you know, there are sort of a few tributaries to the idea of super teacher. You know, one was during the pandemic, I saw that, you know, wealthy families were just paying, you know, $1,000 a month for online tutoring for their kids to make up for learning loss. But most people can obviously not afford $1,000 a month. That's ridiculous. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if families could get unlimited tutoring for $10 a month? You know, something that most families can't afford. And I also knew from my work at Google and at Google Research that the AI was now ready for this. There's better speech recognition for children. There's natural language processing. There's, you know, synthetic voices. You could really make an AI tutor that was capable of automatically delivering private tutoring. So I felt this was a hole in the world that for the first time could be filled thanks to AI that was just about coming out. And, you know, I thought I wanted to do another startup, and I knew that once I do a startup, I'll just be obsessed with it. I'll be, you know, thinking about it all the time. And I didn't want to not be working with my kids who are 3 and 5 at the time. And so part of the reason I made Super Teacher was so that working on a startup could be sort of part and parcel of spending time with my kids. And, you know, my kids, not only have they taken over 1,000 lessons in Super Teacher and learned a huge amount of, you know, math, multiplication, division, reading comprehension, just from Super Teacher, the AI tutor that we developed. But, you know, now my 8-year-old, you know, files bugs with the engineers, say, hey, there's a bug, this thing's not working correctly. So it's become a little bit of a family affair. And, you know, there's sort of various reasons why I did it. But, you know, once you do it, you know, it's like you've jumped off and you can't go back. And now you just gotta make it work. And that's where we are right now. Thankfully, it's going well.
So this is a tutor. It's an app then. So, you know, into it. And what's, you know, what's interesting, I think people might find this is that, I mean, and you develop this for early elementary area,
right.
And I would imagine that there's a question out there going like, but they're too young to be using this. I mean, I could hear some people going, geez, really? We want to get them on an app already? Or then the ability, do they even have the skill set and the ability to work with this? And you brought along, you know, a little show and tell for us.
Yes.
Today.
Here I can present it.
And then Jess, you wanted to.
We're all set.
Okay.
We're all set. So I'll do is I'll play a little video and you'll be able to hear it. And what it is a 6-year-old. It's actually my 6-year-old. She might have been 5 at the time. And this is just a little clip. It's actually one of the ads we run on Facebook. It's a little clip of Super Teacher doing some reading with my daughter and listening to what she's saying. She's trying to read a sentence off the screen. She doesn't quite get it correct. Read it correctly. The teacher reads it for her, helps, you know, her do it again. Let me just play. You'll be able to hear it. If you're on video, you can watch it, but it's pretty self-explanatory what's going on just listening here. I'll play it now.
Michelle, can you read this sentence?
The chair is blue.
So close. Let's try it together. The chairs are blue.
The chairs.
Your turn.
The chairs are blue.
Michelle, that was great reading. Perfect.
And that's the basic idea. You know, each lesson is conversational, and that's what makes Super Teacher unique compared to any sort of educational app that came before it. Here, the child speaks back and forth with an avatar. It's an animated teacher character, and each lesson is about 10 minutes. And Super Teacher is capable of teaching children to read, to add, to subtract, multiply, divide. We've got almost 1,000 lessons in Super Teacher across, you know, dozens of subjects. And when you see it happening, you realize it's, you know, it's not dystopian at all. It's actually very delightful. Kids love it. They're actually learning really well. And it's been very effective in my own family. Again, my kids have taken about 1,000 lessons themselves. But now we've got, you know, there's over 15,000 families that pay $10 a month for Super Teacher. It's sort of like Disney Plus for educational outcomes for the families. It's $10 a month. Unlimited tutoring in reading, math, art, science, poetry, social emotional skills, geography, Greek mythology, unlimited tutoring in every subject for all your children combined for $10 a month. And it's really delightful. You have a lot of kids out there who have done hundreds and hundreds of lessons. Some kids out there have done over 1,000 lessons. They'll take the same lesson a few times because they enjoy it. They want to see some little, you know, fun thing happen in the middle. And that's where we're at right now, except that we're also now selling Super Teacher to schools. We do school licenses, which maybe is jumping the gun a little, but
I don't think it's jumping the gun, but Jess, what do you think of the video there?
I think that this is just an incredible tool, and you can tell that it's fun as well as educational. I mean, that little yippee, that just warmed my heart. So just
and that's authentic, by the way. I didn't put her up to that. That's really her reaction, during the lesson.
You can tell. I mean,
you can tell. You can tell.
You can tell. You can't make a 5-year-old artificially excited. And just to see the back and forth, I was struggling to understand what it would look like, what it would functionally be like to have this AI interaction, and to actually see it, it makes a lot of sense.
It does. Once you see it, it makes sense. That's right.
So Tim, one, you know, people have, if you're just listening again, you didn't see the video. And I think when we say app, some people are, okay, wait, a 5-year-old on my smartphone. Do we have to put it on a phone?
So Super Teacher is free to download, and it can be installed on any iPhone, any iPad, any Android tablet. It can be installed on Chromebooks from the Play Store. So it can work on any device. You know, it's really not unusual at all for families of young children to have some tablet, some sort of family tablet. Typically, you know, they'll be maybe watching Disney Plus or watching Bluey on the tablet. You'll see that, at restaurants, kids have it out, you know, for better, for worse. There's typically a device in the home. Mm-hmm. And kids are spending already time on the device, and they'll either be watching cartoons, or, you know, some parents will have their kids do a, you know, Minecraft or what have you. It depends on the exact age, but this stuff is happening. It's not like Super Teacher is, you know, breaking some sort of wall where, like, all of a sudden young kids are on devices. What? No, young kids are already on devices. It's now the device is an AI tutor, as I call it, that's capable of teaching them addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, fractions, reading comprehension, advanced reading comprehension, poetry. You know, it's actually, you know, good screen time. And actually, you know, I'll say something about screen time. People always worry about screen time. It's a bit of a misnomer, because everybody says they're against screen time. And I can always convince people that they're not actually against screen time in about 10 seconds. You know, I say, do you limit how long your kid is allowed to, like, speak to grandma on FaceTime? And they say, oh, no, yeah, that's not a problem. Like, okay, so the screen itself is not the problem. And so where is the boundary between sort of good screen time and bad screen time? And what parents actually feel is what they don't like is when their kid goes into zombie mode, where they're just kind of lean back. You know, you could wave your hand in front of their eyes and they're just, like, still watching the screen through your hand. When the child is speaking back and forth, whether it's a grandma or an online tutor or a Super Teacher, they're engaged, they're conversational. And then it doesn't feel like bad screen time. And one very perceptive parent reached out to us and told us what's so amazing about Super Teacher is that, unlike TV time, where when I turn off the TV, my kid goes crazy immediately with behavioral issues. In my family, we call this the post movie squirmies, where it's like, as soon as it stops, it's like, after a Super Teacher lesson, it's just not like that at all, because they've just been speaking and learning and very engaged. Yeah.
No. Oh, well, so there's the part then, too. So where do the lessons come from? I mean, is this all just Tim doing this all by himself? I mean, what's your team about?
Yeah, we have former teachers on staff, former elementary school teachers who taught in the classroom full time, probably a 10 or 15 years experience from pre-K to third or fourth grade. And they create the lessons just the way they would for their lesson plans. They use a lot of Canva, just the way teachers do. They write lessons. You can think of sort of a Super Teacher lesson as like making a lesson plan, but on steroids, where you've actually written every word the teacher might say under any circumstances, created all the illustrations, all the GIFs, given all the little awards. So it's just very, very highly specified. It takes about 10 hours to create a 10-minute lesson in Super Teacher. But the benefit then is that it can be taught, you know, tens of thousands or millions of times. So, you know, you create a lesson on carry the one, or how to, you know, the at word family. And then, you know, that might have taken, you know, 10 hours to create, but then it gets taught hundreds of thousands of times to kids all over the country. You know, Super Teacher right now, as I'm speaking, it's probably tutoring hundreds of kids, you know, right now, you know, so pretty amazing once it's automated. The power of AI and power of automation is absolutely incredible. It's really great. We've got lots and lots of families who are using it. We skew low-income families. So it's people who otherwise would not be able to afford a private tutor for their children at all. For the first time, they can get their child private tutoring because Super Teacher is at an affordable price range. And we're now trying to go one step further, which is to make it totally free for the families. And the thing for that is Super Teacher for Schools. And so what we're doing now is we partner with schools to get them a school license for Super Teacher. And that ends up being just, you know, a couple of dollars per month per student for the schools.
Okay.
And the schools give Super Teacher to the families. So right, you know, with one sort of snap of the fingers, every child in the school has 24/7 access to private tutoring and reading, math, focusing on foundational skills, but also every other subject. And it's available on weekends, during the summer, when the kid is in the hospital. It's always available. And it can also be used in the classroom. Teachers will use it at centers or stations. It's part of WIN periods, the What I Need periods for interventions. So teachers are using it in all sorts of interesting ways within the classroom. And that's what Super Teacher for Schools is. And the nice thing about it is the parents don't have to pay for anything at all. It's just a relatively minor line item expense for the school.
So we're putting it there. Jess has a question. We're almost out of time though with Tim Novikov and Super Teacher.
Oh, Jess,
does Super Teacher ever get stumped?
No. So Super Teacher never makes a mistake. She never loses patience. She's incapable of discrimination. And parents, by the way, have access to choice of a diverse set of teacher characters, so the teacher can look like their child if they want that. In Super Teacher, it's normally not the kid asking the questions. It's actually the teacher asking the questions. It's a common misconception. People always think with tutoring, it's like the kid asking the question. But once an initial sort of like setup is going, it's the teacher asking the questions. It's saying, you know, teacher says, Bobby, what's 5 times 5? Bobby, can you read this sentence? So it's actually the teacher that asks the question. The kids are the ones getting stumped or not stumped. Occasionally, a kid will say something that's such a non sequitur that the teacher doesn't really, know what to do, make of it. But the super teacher will do exactly what a real teacher would do in that scenario. Just kind of move on with the lesson. You know, if the teacher says, you know, hey, Bobby, what's 5 times 5? And the kid says bananas, you know, the teacher will say, well, 5 times 5 is 25. You can see that by such and such, and just moves on with the lesson.
Oh, our guest, Tim Novikov, super teacher. Tim, where should people go to get some more info?
So go to getsuperteacher.com. That's getsuperteacher.com. Or you can email me at tim@getsuperteacher.com.
Oh, what a great interview. Hey, Tim Novikov, what we always say here, thanks for busting pencils.
Thanks for being here. Looking forward to the next time.
Hey, Tim and Jess, when we get back, you know, we're going to ask ourselves some critical questions. Hold on. We'll be right back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, talking technology education today. Guest Tim Novikov, super teacher. All right, Jess, producer Jess.
Uh-huh.
You got to listen to the two Tims.
Yeah, this is not the first Tim that you've brought onto the show, but usually we have Johnny in here as well to break things up. This time it was just, well, Tim.
Okay, so, I mean, what do you think? I am so
impressed by this software of actually being able to provide one-on-one tutoring through AI. And I do recognize that this is a limited use. Mm-hmm. And what I really appreciated from Tim Novikov was the understanding that there are significant limits to this. This is not something that's meant to replace formal education for a child. This is not meant to in any way replace a teacher. This is a supplement. This is an activity for a child to do to continue their learning, to sharpen their learning during those hours when they're not in the classroom, when they're not with a teacher, and to provide that support that one-on-one tutoring really can give. I've been a one-on-one tutor for quite a few years now, and I know the benefit that the child receives, and I know that I can only tutor so many children one-on-one. So for those who can't access this through the conventional method of having one adult to one child, the fact that thousands, tens of thousands of children can access now this one-on-one tutoring, I think that's incredible.
Yeah, and the one-on-one tutoring too, and we know this from research, is incredibly effective at really helping, you know, particularly when students have gaps and that ability to really get that one-on-one tutoring. And I know too, as we point this out, that the ability of having access to that one-on-one tutoring has typically been an issue of economics for a lot of families. And, you know, but, you know, as you're out there too going, you know, here's the harder question that I think that I know the Busted Pencil listener, I know they're out there and I know they're asking this question. And so, you know, we're going to ask it rhetorically here, but as much as we hear that it's not going to replace a teacher, I think there's the fear of going, but what about policymakers who say and go, you know what? Well, for those kids, though, why wouldn't we just give them that? Because that's a heck of a lot cheaper than a teacher. This is that public school thing where you go, well, for whose kids? For whose kids are we talking about? Because this could easily be hijacked and manipulated by nefarious forces that say, you know what? Actually, those kids, they really don't need a human teacher. Those public schools, and I think as we're going into this moment that we've been spending so much time talking about, is that I could see the fear of this tool being used by those who want to privatize or take away public funding from schools to say, what a great way to cut the budget of public schools if we don't have to have three first grade teachers. Maybe we only need two now because we can provide super teacher. Well,
and I think that's where these limits come in, that Tim Novikoff understands. And as he said, first, right off the bat, this is not going to replace a teacher. It can't replace a teacher. And as we just talked about at the end of the last segment, students can't ask questions of super teacher. Students need to be able to ask questions of their teachers. That's one of the things that, you know, real human one-on-one tutoring can really be such a great space for. Superteacher can't do that. So Superteacher cannot replace a human teacher. However, if you are feeling concerns about this, if you have questions about this, if you're listening to the broadcast right now, you can send us a text, 855-752-4842. If you're listening to the podcast or watching the video later on YouTube or Facebook, you can go ahead and send us a text or call us and leave us a voice message at 608-557-8577. We'd love to hear from you.
We absolutely would, because I really do believe that this is a question, because just I think our intentions and our ambitions are pure. But man, you know, some of these policymakers that are coming into power here, you know, there's a concern. And if we can cheapen, truly reduce the cost. I don't know. It's a lot going on. But you know what, though, Jess?
Why don't we take a moment?
Yeah, now it's time for your moment of zen. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we think human beings should live in defiance of all that is bad around us is itself a marvelous victory. Again, we love having everybody joining us on Saturdays at 3 o'clock, and also, of course, downloading always the podcast if that's the way you can get it. It's Busted Pencils. We want to thank Tim Novikoff, too, for that time and spending some time with us here in Busted Pencils. Really love the extended hours on Saturdays. But, hey, don't forget Monday.
Ooh, a homeroom.
I was going to say, Jess, a really special. Yeah, you know, we'll even tell you. You want to know what Matt Damon's mom's up to? Well, she's our homeroom guest this Monday. She's got a lot to say. And then, of course, Wednesday classes in session.
Another special one.
Another special. And face-offs and Friday night. Or not Friday night. Face-off. Free throws and face-offs.
Right. There we
go. Our new extracurricular winters essential curriculars. You know what, though, everybody? Keep busting pencils.